And he, Jesus, said unto them, his disciples, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Last week, we saw that in the New Testament, the law refers to the Old Testament scriptures. We saw every category that Jesus split the Old Testament into called the law. We saw the Psalms called the law. We saw the prophets called the law. And we saw the law of Moses, the five books of Moses called the law. So again, the law, as we saw from God's word last week, refers to the Old Testament scriptures. The name of today's sermon is Under the Law. And the purpose of today's sermon is to explain what it means to be under the law and to explain what is the law in Galatians. Before we can understand what it means to be under the law, we need to know what it means to be justified. So let's turn to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Starting with verse 1. We'll read verses 1 and 9. It reads, Romans 5, verses 1 and 9. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. So notice that when we are justified, we have peace with God and we are saved from wrath. What else comes with being justified? Let's turn to Romans chapter 3. Just so you know, we'll spend the vast majority of our time today in the book of Galatians. But let's go to Romans chapter 3, starting with verse 24. It says, Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation, meaning atonement, through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. When we are justified, we have remission of sins. So again, friends, we have peace with God, we are saved from wrath, and we have remission of sins when we are justified. Stay where you are in Romans. I'll read to you one more verse for what it means to be justified. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So when we're justified, we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. That's Titus 3:7. So friends, when you put all those verses together, having peace with God, being saved from wrath, and being heirs according to the hope of eternal life, having remission of sins, we are made right with God. To be justified means to be made right with God. So now let's, in the same chapter, Romans chapter 3, let's read verses 19 and 20. Romans 3, 19 and 20. It reads, Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Let's stop there for a moment, friends. I want you to notice three things in this verse. You have the law. You have them who are under the law. And you have what the law says to them who are under the law. And what does it say to them? It says every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Verse 20 starts with the word therefore. Remember, friends, what the word therefore means. Therefore is a conclusion. It means because of this. In other words, because all the world has become guilty before God. What does it say in verse 20? Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law simply points out how our lives are not in harmony with God. Our lives are out of sync with God. That's what the law shows us. It does not justify us. It does not make us right with God. But remember, the law says to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. And again, the conclusion is, therefore, by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. What does that tell us about the people who are under the law? It tells us that they are trying to be justified, but they are trying to be made right with God by the deeds of the law. That's what it means, friends, to be under the law. We'll see it in Galatians also. We'll see it more clearly there. I personally used to teach that being under the law means to be under the condemnation of the law. Many of you may have been taught the same thing. This is partly true, let me grant you that, because no man can make himself right with God by the deeds of the law. So yes, you are under its condemnation, but personally I do not believe this is the meaning that Paul intended. Let's turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians, chapter 4, verse 21. You have Romans, then you have 1 and 2 Corinthians, then you have Galatians. Galatians, chapter 4, verse 21. It reads, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? Let me focus on the middle of the verse. Ye that desire to be under the law. Friends, it is a foregone conclusion. Nobody desires to be under the condemnation of the law. So we need to find out from the book of Galatians, who are these people who desire to be under the law? Let's read chapter 5, verse 4. Same book, Galatians 5, verse 4. Paul says, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Notice what he says, whosoever of you are justified by the law. So in Galatians, the people who desire to be under the law are the people who are trying to be justified by the law, by the deeds of the law. So, like in the book of Romans, Paul is dealing with a situation where people are trying to atone for their past sins by obeying God's law. They're trying to be, again, justified, made right with God by the deeds of the law. But does it work that way? Let's read chapter 2, verse 16, Galatians 2:16. It reads, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So again, friends, to be under the law means to be trying to be justified, trying to be made right with God by the works or deeds of the law. But no man can make himself right with God. The only way that we can be justified is by faith. So with this understanding, let us find out, what is the law in Galatians? As mentioned earlier, last week we saw from the Word of God that the law in the New Testament refers to the Old Testament scriptures. And during the time that Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians, Jewish believers were convincing Gentiles that they needed to be circumcised in order to have salvation. So some people might jump to the conclusion that the law in Galatians is the ceremonial law. But let's take a look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 21 to 23. Like last week, I'm not going to explain every verse word for word, but I'll focus on a specific part. Galatians 4, 21 to 23. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, talking about Ishmael and Isaac. The one by a bondmaid, that was Hagar. The other by a free woman, that was Abraham's wife, Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Notice, Paul says in verse 21, do ye not hear the law? And then he goes on saying, for it is written. So he's about to tell them something the law says. And what does he go on talking about? He's talking about the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. And Ishmael and Isaac. Where do you read that? What book? You read it in the book of Genesis. Now keep in mind, friends, the book of Genesis is not the Ten Commandments, and it's not the ceremonial law. But yet right there, Paul is calling the book of Genesis the law. In the same book, let's read chapter 5, verse 14. Galatians 5, 14. It says there, in Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There we have Paul again, quoting Leviticus 19:18. Friends, that also is not the Ten Commandments, and it's not the ceremonial law. Three more places for this in Galatians. Galatians 6, 12 and 13. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised. We'll see later how we keep the law. It says, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. Let's stop there for a moment. So there Paul is talking about circumcision. One thing to keep in mind is that the rite of circumcision was given to Abraham. And we read about that in the book of Genesis. However, let me grant you, circumcision also was part of the ceremonial law. So here he's talking about the rite of circumcision. What was happening at that time, again, Jewish believers were telling Gentiles that they needed to be circumcised to have salvation. And it's not that they so much desired, Paul's saying, that they wanted these Gentiles to be saved for God's kingdom, but rather they were trying to get glory to themselves. They wanted the people to look to them as their leaders. And seeing that the people were doing what they told them to do, then they could glory, as Paul says it, that they may glory in your flesh. But again, Paul is talking about circumcision, which you do read about in Genesis, but also was part of the ceremonial law. So let's turn to chapter 2, verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. It reads, Galatians 2:3, "But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." So there you have it again, the rite of circumcision, as mentioned, introduced in Genesis, but also part of the ceremonial law. But we, again, friends, don't forget, Paul quoted Leviticus 19:18, which was not the ceremonial law. He quoted the book of Genesis, or talked about it. And that was not the ceremonial law or the Ten Commandments. So what is the law in Galatians? The answer is in chapter 5, verse 3. Keep in mind, those who were being circumcised, in the context of the book of Galatians, those who were being circumcised to try to have salvation as a result of it, were trying to be justified by the deeds of the law. And what does Paul say to that? "For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to the whole law." So friends, the law in Galatians does include the ceremonial law. It includes the Ten Commandments. It's the whole thing. It's not just one or the other. It's the whole law. Either the entire Old Testament or at least the entire law of Moses. The entire five books of Moses. That is the law in Galatians. I'll share with you a quote from Selected Messages, Book 1, page 133. "I am asked concerning the law in Galatians, what law is the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ? I answer, both the ceremonial and the moral code of Ten Commandments." Again, friends, end of quote. Again, friends, the law in Galatians is the whole thing. At least the books of Genesis to Deuteronomy, if not the entire Old Testament. And if we are not justified by the deeds of that law, then how are we justified? Chapter 2, Galatians 2, verse 16. It says, again, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law." So we're justified by the faith of Christ, he says. "For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified." Paul says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." In other words, friends, if we could make ourselves right with God by the deeds of the law, there would have been no need for a substitute. Jesus would not have needed to die for us if we could make ourselves right with God by the works or deeds of the law. We are justified not by works, but by faith. Let's turn to chapter 3. Galatians 3, verse 2. Paul says, "This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" In the same chapter, verse 11. "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith." And there, Paul is quoting Habakkuk 2:4. So again, we are justified by faith. Faith in Jesus as our substitute, the one who died for us because of our sins. Faith in him. Paul asks the question, do we then make void the law through faith? How does he answer that? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. So through faith we are justified, but also through faith we establish the law. Remember, Jesus died because we broke the law. And so his death has given us further reason to obey the law. Chapter 5, verse 6, Galatians 5:6. It reads, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." That is the faith we are to have, friends. The faith which works by love. The faith which obeys God out of love for Him, because He first loved us. Now let's turn to Romans 5:5. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. In the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 5, Paul talks again about love. It says, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." So when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, have faith, when we put our faith in His sacrifice for us, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We receive the Holy Ghost. And we have the faith which works by love. The faith which obeys God out of love for Him. Out of love for God and for our fellow man. So we'll start now reading our closing verses. Let's turn to the Gospel of Luke. We'll read two verses from Luke. Luke chapter 7 verse 50. So remember what it means, friends, to be under the law, to try to be justified, to try to be made right with God by the deeds of the law. That's impossible, friends. We can't make ourselves right with God by the deeds of the law. The law simply gives us the knowledge of sin. We are justified by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ is our substitute for us. And because of that, the Holy Ghost is given, when we accept Jesus again as Lord and Savior, confess and forsake our sins, we receive the Holy Ghost, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We have a faith which works by love and obeys God out of love for Him. And this, of course, is the story of the Luke account of Mary Lazarus' sister pouring the ointment on Jesus because of her faith in Him, her love for Him. It reads, Luke 7:50, "And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." In the same book, let's read chapter 18, verse 42. Chapter 18, verse 42. "And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." Notice in both of those verses, Jesus said, "Thy faith hath saved thee." They weren't saved or justified by works. They were saved by faith. Let us turn back to Romans. We'll turn to three more places. One in Romans, Romans 13. Again, through faith we establish the law. Romans 13, 8 to 10. The Apostle Paul says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." There Paul is quoting the Ten Commandments, and again, Leviticus 19:18. Verse 10, "Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. When we have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and have received the Holy Ghost and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, we fulfill the law, meaning we establish the law. If you look up fulfill in the dictionary, establish is one of the meanings. We establish the law through faith. And friends, I hope and pray that this is or will be the experience of every one of us. Receiving the Holy Ghost, after accepting Jesus as our substitute, having God's love shed abroad in our hearts, and having the faith which works by love, the faith which and the love which fulfills the law. Let us turn back to the book of Galatians, Galatians 5:18. It reads, "But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." Friends, when you receive the Holy Ghost and God's love is shed abroad in your hearts and you have the faith which works by love, you are not under the law. You are not trying to be justified by the law. You obey out of love for God because the Spirit is leading you. And I also hope and pray that this either is or will be the experience of every one of us. And finally, Galatians 6:2. "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Amen. May God bless you as you continue your walk with Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your mercy and your grace. And we thank you so much for giving us Jesus. And we thank you that because of Him, we can have pardon for sin and the hope of eternal salvation. And we thank you so much for giving us your Holy Scriptures. We thank you for the angels ministering to us and protecting us. We thank you for the Holy Ghost comforting and teaching us. And we pray that you will be with us and keep us through the rest of this blessed Sabbath day. And we pray that you'll help us to remain patient and faithful until the second coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you so much again and praise you for Jesus' great sacrifice for us. In Jesus' all-sufficient and worthy name we pray these things. Amen.